T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The long-time public relations director for the New York Mets. He's got his new book out, Mr. Met, and he is really Mr. Met. And that, of course, is Jay Horowitz. Jay, how are you?
Good to be with you, Joe. It's a long, 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 long time, Joe. Long time.
Long time. Jay, how many years are you? How many years were you the PR guy for the Mets? Right,
it's like 1980. April 1st, 1980. You know, on April Fool's Day, pretty apropos for me, Joe. And I've been in the new job as the director of alumni affairs for 2 years. I've been with the Mets over 40 years, which is a long time to be in one place.
No doubt about it. And where are you now? What are you doing now, Jay?
I'm in my lovely home in Clifton, Joe, not too far from where you live. I'm in northern Jersey. I go for my walk every day and try to be safe and you know, keep my mask on and try to do the right thing.
I hear you. Well, Jay, before we even get into your career, which is a fascinating career, no doubt about it, with all the years with the Mets, how do you think this whole baseball thing is going to play out here right now?
Joe, I think they got to come to a conclusion. I mean, both sides, I mean, it'll be like a nuclear bomb going off if nothing gets done, especially with the other sports, you know, itchy towards getting sub the NBA, soccer, racing, golf.
Right.
I just think they're going to have to find a way. Yeah, I've been, watch a lot of these negotiations. It always is darkest before the dawn. And I think people on both sides are going to come to their senses, hopefully sometime next week, to get the July stuff done. I'm just hoping, praying everything gets settled by next week and we can get some semblance of baseball back on the field.
You think we'll see baseball in New York this year?
I do, Joe. I really do. I really do. I really think they're going to get it done.
But, I mean, in New York itself, though, you think we'll actually see games at Yankee Stadium and Citi Field?
I think we'll play, ball at Citi Field, Yankee Stadium. And we won't be fans at the start, but I think the governor is put the welcome mat out. He wants it done. And, I think he thinks sports is going to help heal the city a little bit. And I think it'll get done. I think there'll be sports at Yankee Stadium and Citi Field.
All right. So you write the book, and you have, and let's be honest, Jay, you've had as fascinating a career. I mean, with all the ups and downs that you had with the Mets, I mean, you've been through it all. You know, you and I, we've had a couple of battles over the years. I always think about.
I never really did. You always thought, listen, I respect what you do, and, listen, I expect your passion, and whatever. You know what I mean?
No, I know. Look, come on. You know I love you, Jay. I mean, I'm kidding around with you, but,
No, I hear you.
What inspired you to write the book? I mean, you got so many stories, obviously, but what inspired you to write the book?
A couple of things, Joe, is, I never really thought I'd write a book. I'm going to be 75 in August.
Really?
Even the end of my career, right?
Right.
So I was always able to laugh at myself, and I said, why not put some of the funny stories, the jokes Johnny Franco played on me, my relationships with the players, down on paper, and I said, why not, put it down? I never wanted to write a tell-all book, Joe. What went on in a plane ride from Houston to New York after the '86 playoff?
Right.
I didn't do any of that.
You were on that plane, right? Were you on that plane?
I was on that plane. I slept. I slept, Joe. But the other thing I never really said, just two other really things I want to get out there. When my mother was pregnant with me in 1945, she got German measles, okay? I was born with glaucoma in my right eye. I was blind from my right eye. So, and when I was about 12 or 13, I had to get an artificial eye in my right eye. So I never really told people that, Joe.
Wow.
I said, one of the things it is, I was embarrassed to tell people that. You know, you look at me, knew something wrong with my eye. I said, listen, maybe I can have a little incentive for people. Board not perfect. You can make a career of yourself, and you know, in sports, and I just wanted to get that out there that you don't have to be perfect. The other thing, there were two friends who, you know, really my second family since my parents died a little time ago. Lyndon and Mark Emmer, they lived in Little Ferry, and they, you know, Mark unfortunately died of cancer about a year ago. He wanted me to write the books. It's kind of a tribute to them that I want to get this out there. Just put all my stuff down on paper. Maybe I could just help some people get some messages out there. That was really the two purposes why I wanted to write the book.
Wow. So I didn't know that about you, that that you had that situation with your eye,
Jay. Yeah, you know what, Joe? When I was ridiculed as a kid. You know, I had it was like Max Scherzer. I had one blue eye, one green
right,
eye.
Right, right, right.
And I just said, you know, why not get it out there and give, you know, get some people that can read my book and say, hey, maybe I don't have to be perfect to do this. And that's, and listen, my days of being modeling on GQ are over with, Joe. why not, you know, get it out there? Maybe it could be inspiration to some people. And, you know, I wanted to do this thing the right way. You know, to be in one place for 40 years is a great thing. And I didn't want to, you know, tell me what player did this, who did that. I didn't want to do that kind of a book. And I just didn't think I would write the book, and somebody offered to write it with me, and so, you know, I put it down on paper.
Give me the moment, and obviously you know, you were there for you know, the World Series in 86 and all of that, but give me the moment that sticks out the most for you, Jay, in your 40 years with the Mets.
Well, it was really two things, Joe. One was 2 outs in the 86 World Series. I'm sitting in the office with Keith Hernandez and Darryl Johnson. And I'm saying to myself, how am I going to alibi to the press? You know, we were destined to win the World Series. We won 114 games at that point. And
right.
We were one strike away
right.
from being eliminated. So all of a sudden, Gary gets a hit. You know, Mitch gets a hit. Ray Knight gets a hit. Mookie's at bat. We win. Next day, we come down from 3-0 and, you know, win the World Series as a parade. I mean, that team was a remarkable team in 86 with all the different personalities, and you know, they really kept me hopping that year. Anytime I went to the ballpark, I didn't know what the hell was going to happen, you know. But, you know, and the other thing, you know, it sticks out is what the team did in 9/11, you know, from the ownership
right.
down to Bobby Valentine to the players and, you know, Al White or Johnny Franco and everybody else. I really thought we made a difference in the community here. We did all the things to the firehouses, the police stations, you know, the hospitals, and it was really – really proud to be a part of that team and what we did. You know, Mike's home run was great and on that day, but it was more than just a home run. It was all the guys from 1 to 25 had a real sense of giving and wanting to give back, and that's something I look back at my career, whatever it is, I'm really just proud to be part of that.
Yeah, no, tremendous moments, no doubt. We're talking to Jay Horowitz, of course, the longtime public relations director of the Mets, and he's got a book out now, Mr. Met. I haven't got my copy yet, Jay. So I mean,
you gotta text me your address, Joseph. I'm trying
right.
to get your address.
All right. You know what? I will have to forward that to you. Maybe I'll do that through Ernie. We'll work that out because I do
Please.
Want. I'm sure the book is fascinating. Was there one guy, one player that maybe more so than anybody else that you really, you know, took a liking to or had a certain kind of relationship with, Jay?
I was with so many, Joe. I mean, you know, from, you know, David Wright to Franco to Whiter to the one guy who, you know, probably impacted me a lot. I could have written a whole book, Joe, on all the practical jokes Johnny Franco played on me. I'll just say
right.
two clean ones. We're in the old Biltmore Hotel in Los Angeles. So Johnny unscrews a horse head from the lobby, gets the keys to my room, puts the horse head in my bed, puts ketchup on the pillow,
my God.
Shuts the lights off on my room.
Right.
I walked into the room. There's about nine guys standing outside the room. Look, that guy had a freaking heart attack. The other guy used to play some jokes on me was David Wright. I said to him, my eyesight wasn't great.
Right.
So
right.
I used to watch the games with binoculars, okay?
Right.
So David had put the eye black under his eyes, and he puts the eye black on my binoculars So when I got up to the press box, I took my binoculars off. You remember Petey, the dog from the Little Rascals? That
yes.
Rings under his eyes.
Yeah, of course. Right.
I look at how to fight. So I, you know, one thing, Joe, I was, and people ask me, how did I exist for so long? I was able not to take myself seriously. You know, Johnny used to tell me, if the players don't like you, they won't screw with you. So, I mean, through the years, they screwed with me, and I was always able to, you know, to take it, you know, to understand what they did. Like, you know, somebody asked me the other day, too, why did Jacob DeGrom, you know, write the foreword? He wrote the foreword for my book, you know? Mm-hmm. And the publishing company wanted to get a player from the active roster to show that I transcended all the decades, you know,
right,
and just
right.
To deal with the old. So I just see what I used to do with Jacob. I was 40 years older than him, just so I would fit in. I would say, Jacob, I need you for an interview, and he would say, well, Jay, this is basketball net in the locker room. If you can make two or three shots, I'll do the interview for you. I never made two or three shots. He always did the interview. He said the other time, why don't you come outside and hit fungos to me and Steve and Matt? If you hit the fungos, we'll do the interview. That was just my way of letting these guys know I wasn't
right.
a stuffed shirt. I wasn't a suit. I was able to fit in with them. That's how I, you know, got by for the time I was with the Mets, Joe.
Yeah, I want to get a feeling on of what these guys were. You know, the one guy, when I think about a Met that I didn't like, you know, and I'm a Met fan, you know this, Jay, since the beginning, 1962.
Yes, sir.
One guy I couldn't that I never liked, and to me, he was kind of the poster child of the post 86 championship, and that's Kevin McReynolds.
Yeah,
what kind of a guy was Kevin McReynolds?
Kevin was really quiet, Joe, and he just didn't like New York. You know what I mean? And the thing is, you know, he got dressed a lot of times when I would take the elevator down from the fourth floor of the press box. He was gone already from the locker room. And he wasn't like he was a bad guy. He's from Arkansas.
Right.
He didn't like the pace of New York, and he played hard. He, you know, one time we were in St. Louis, and I think he got four hits in a game, knocking four runs. And by the time I got down to the locker room, he gone. He went back to the team hotel. He just, you know, I mean, there's some guys, you know, the Yankees who, you know, Woodson. I can't think of some of the other good names. They just didn't like the pace of New York. It wasn't like he was a bad guy. He just didn't, I think I can remember his stats weren't that bad here, you know, but a lot of people think that, you know, we disrupted the 86 team when we traded Kevin Mitchell.
Yep, I do.
Yeah, Kevin Mitchell was one of the heart and souls of the team. He, you know, played different positions.
Yep. Yep.
You know, he came up in a situation, and we probably, you know, went on to win the MVP with the Giants, and we lost a lot of heart or oomph when he left. And, you know, and again, he wasn't a bad guy. He just didn't fit in here in New York, and it happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll always be upset with Frank Cashin for making that move. The other guy I want to ask you about is Matt Harvey. And we all know what happened. It's really, when you look back now at you know, how good he was and what's happened to him now. What about Harvey? Was it just that he got a little too full of himself too soon? I mean, how about that? Obviously, you know, we know what happened with the injuries and all. But what about Harvey? What kind of guy was Harvey really?
Let me preface this. I sound like a PR guy. I like Matt. The problem happened with Matt, there were too many outside people in his head.
Uh-huh.
You know, he got involved with some other people away from the ball club, and he put him in a position to do some PR things. He went on different shows, you know, like the most great things. I mean, he did everything. What I try to tell the younger guys, Joe, you don't have to get all the publicity in 1 month. To do your job, it'll come to you. Unfortunately, he tried to get everything in 1 month. And, you know, and he was involved. He listened to too many different people. And I actually, you know, I mean, I feel badly for him, because I always like to think back to what would have happened, you know, the fifth game in a World Series.
Right,
comes
right.
Off the winning 2-0, whatever it was. The crowd was electric. You know, and then he comes back out. And then, what would have happened if he continued, if he pitched that shutout? How many lives would have changed? How many, you know, jobs would have been different as we go on. Maybe we win the World Series after that. We had, you know, DeGrom and Syndergaard the last two games in the series. But it just, it happened. I mean, he just, you know, I go back to the, I mean, he just, too many people got in his head. And he just, you know, he got off the beaten path a little bit. And now, I mean, hopefully he can get a job. And he's just 31 years old. I mean, hopefully the guy gets a job and, you know, can find himself and get back on the mound. Other people, you know, a lot older than him gotten back, but just too many, you know, people got in his head, Joe. That's my estimation.
Wow. Interesting. Great stuff. Jay Horowitz, of course, with us. Jay, how about the Wilpons? I mean, there's so much, you know, the situation. The Met fan has so much negativity toward the Wilpons, looks at them as being cheap. Everybody wants to see them sell the team. I mean, you know, me included. I mean, I want to see different owners in here. What about them in general? You worked with them for all those years.
Yeah.
What kind of people are the Wilpons really?
Joe, I mean, like, again, they nobody wants to win more than the Wilpons do. It's, you know, they call them cheap, but the money we spent, we made some maybe not great deals. Perez, Luke Castillo, you know, we paid the money for Pedro Martinez.
Right,
didn't
right.
Can I just tell you, too? I mean, again, I just could tell you, I've worked for them for 40 years, okay? And I wish the people could see the passion in the office when they booed. Nobody wants to win more than these guys. Let me just tell you, you know, two quick stories. You know, when,
go ahead.
You know, I don't know, if did you ever meet Chad and Ford who worked with me, Joe, for, you know, she passed away from cancer.
Oh, of course. No, of course, yeah. Of course.
And, you know, Jeff showed her so much compassion the last couple of years of her life. But when Gary Carter was sick, he flew us down to Florida to see him. They want to win as badly as anybody, and they, you know, Jeff doesn't do a lot of outside stuff. I mean, he doesn't give a lot of interviews, you know, like other owners in other sports. And maybe his compassion, he doesn't, it's not, it, people can't see it, but somebody's been on the inside when we lose, you know, when we lose tough games, or, you know, and you see the criticism in the paper, it affects them. They're people, and you know, Fred's in his early 80s, and, you know, I mean, we're hoping that we could find, you know, find a way, whether it's this year or next year, to get a win. But they want to win, you know, I mean, they want to win as badly as me or you, Joe. I can tell you that from somebody who's been with them for four decades. That's the only thing I could tell you straight out.
Wow. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the perception overall is not good with them.
I hear you. I hear you. I mean, but it's you know, I mean, look at, we made some things, maybe didn't work out, but it's not like they're not willing to spend for the right situations. And they're good and decent people, for it, Joe. They do a lot of great charity work. And listen, I've been with them for 40 years. So, I mean, for being a place for 40 years, I think tells you something about the kind of people you work for.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Again, we're talking to Jay Horowitz. So how is it now for you? You did all these years, like, you were basically 24/7. You
right.
Not only were the PR director for the Mets, but, like, you seemed like you were the PR director for Major League Baseball. You always were at the All-Star game. You were doing all that kind of stuff.
When they first came, when Jeff first came to me with this, I wasn't crazy about the idea. I mean, I love to travel. I love to camaraderie, right. The locker room. But, you know, he said, you know what, Jay, we've never done a whole lot with the alumni. And this was this is the 50th anniversary year. I know all these guys. I know Cleon and Crane Pool and Kuzman. Wanted to shift gears. You could help the organization in another way. I said, Jeff, I'm not crazy about this.
Right.
And
right.
I thought about it for a couple of days. And, you know, let me give it a try. You know, I traveled, Joe, 39 years in a row. Sometimes on a road trip, I would go to, one time we were in Phoenix, in Arizona. I complained to the girl behind the desk. You gave me the wrong keys, and I was using a key from the previous hotel in San Francisco. Didn't fit in the door. It was time. You know, I work like 4 days a week. I do a podcast. I do a newsletter, and I'm trying to let the alumni guys know that we care about them. Well, a story. Hobie Landris was the first guy drafted by the Mets.
Catcher. Yep.
In 1961.
Yep.
I called him about 2 months ago, and he said I was the first guy from the organization called in 50 years. So the kind of stuff, it makes me feel good. I'm kind of reconnect. We brought guys back. you know, Crane Pool and Swoboda to spring training. We, you know, bring, you know, Pat Zachary, Doug Flynn, Joey right. Youngblood. We just try and make it like we're part of the family. So I think I'm making a contribution in another way. And I mean, honestly, at first I wasn't crazy about it, but right, now I'm okay right. with it.
Do you see, with all the, you know, dealing with all the alumni like you do, do you see a day when we're going to see Old Timers Day again with the Mets?
You know what, Joe? I don't think so right now. What I did last year, every home weekend, we would bring two guys back, have them sign autographs in the Hall of Fame thing, do social media, do the press.
Right,
the
right.
The attendance really wasn't that great when we brought them back for one day, to be honest. We kind of do different things. And so we had like 14 home weekends last year. And every home weekend, we had two guys back and paraded them around the ballpark. And people seemed to like that, you know. But it just wasn't, you know, we're just doing it a different way. It could change, maybe. But right now, if we go back, I mean, who, you know, we can – I probably would think we would do the same thing we did last two years.
Now, I'm assuming, again, we're talking to Jay Horowitz, you're also involved in the retired numbers, and I don't know how right. it's going to play out now because they were going to retire Jerry Kuzman's number this year. Right. I don't know if that's going to happen now with the pandemic and
probably
everything.
Probably not, Joe. It's probably not this year. But what we're going to do, one of the things, again, you know, Jeff wanted to do the uptake in the alumni – in the and the alumni stuff, we would induct Ron Darling, I get our Alfonso John Matlack in the Hall
right,
of Fame.
Right.
We were going to do, you know, Jerry's number. We're going to do, once we get back, we're going to uptake that and do more of that stuff to, you know, keep putting more people in the Hall of Fame and keep inducting more numbers. I mean, there's still, you know, a lot of good numbers out there. You have Keith, you have
yep.
Doc and Darryl, you have, you know, Gary Carter. So there's a lot of numbers
right.
out there for future things. And I think that's one thing we want to do is to keep adding on to the Hall of Fame and induction more numbers.
So we're going to see. So Kuzman's number is going to be retired, obviously, eventually. If it's not this year, it's going to happen next.
Right.
And
right.
you see where you mentioned all those guys, Doc and Darryl, Hernandez, you know, all of Gary
Carter. I
don't
know if it even will be, but that's the pool we would be choosing from. You know,
I see.
You know, I mean, yeah. That's a pool, and then more guys in the Hall of Fame, too, you know, to get in. You know, I mean, we want to just keep adding to our past. And that was part of the job that Jeff told me he wanted to do to, you know, when he maybe pushed me up, and then when he got me over this position, was to, you know, keep pushing for this and adding on more for our alumni stuff and do more stuff that we maybe done in recent years.
Great. Well, Jay, look, it's great talking to you. We had a lot of fun over the years dealing with you. There's no doubt about that. I look forward to the book. Best of luck with the book, Mr. Met. And it's a long title. So, Mr. Met, what's the rest of the title again, Jay?
Just Mr. Met, Joe. Then my part-time job, Joe, we get back. I am going to go around the stadium and put the head on, you know.
Oh, is that what you're going to do?
No, I'm just kidding, Joe. Listen, be safe out there. Hopefully, sooner than later, we can get back to some kind of normalcy, you know.
Indeed. Jay, it's always a pleasure, man. You be well.
Right,
thanks for coming on.
Always good talking to you. Huh? All right, bye.
Jay Horowitz, the longtime public relations director of the Mets.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.